Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid, sponsored by Caper.io. Today we have Brian. Brian is the sales director at Aircall. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Mustafa. How are you?
Things are good. Things are good. How are things at your end?
Doing well, man. Thanks so much for having me today.
So before joining Aircall, what you've been up to? Tell us everything. Past girlfriend, boyfriend. Everything.
Right. Well, so so right now I'm the senior director of sales development at Aircall. Prior to that, I've had quite a bit of journey. I was an opera singer that, you know, fell into sales and made a career of it. Starting at yellowpages.com, then spent about 5 years there, got into software selling brand reputation management software for Yext, and helping build out their sales development division for their partnerships division. And then after that, went into eMarketer, spent some time at eMarketer helping them build out their sales development piece before they merged with Business Insider. And now at Aircall. So I've had quite a bit of time actually spent in building sales divisions from the ground, trying to figure out how do you tackle a market? What does your ICP look like? What's the messaging need to sound like? And then how do you approach? And it's been a heck of a ride.
So, and how's the journey so far at Aircall?
Aircall's been going well, man. It's been absolutely a journey. We've been doing this for I'm going on my second, almost done with my second year, which is amazing how fast that's flown by. But really strong. And I think that, you know, I say that knowing the environment that we're in, knowing everything that's happened with COVID, we've been blessed to be able to say, that, you know, we've been able to help people, help companies in a really rather, time of need for many.
Got it. So yes, that was my second question in regards to Aircall going through COVID. You know, COVID has affected a lot of businesses, but it has been a catalyst for others, Zoom being one prime example, right? So how has it affected Aircall, the COVID situation, and how you've helped your customers? You know, walk us through it.
Yeah, so I think very first and foremost is that we're a business that's already built for the remote team, right? So we are a phone solution that lives in the cloud. And that automatically helps us be something that people need when they're thinking about a remote sales team, remote support team. How are they going to help their customers? How are they going to continue to help people find their solution? And so we've been helping businesses, not just businesses, nonprofits, government entities. We've been helping a lot of these companies find their ability to grow and survive in an otherwise unforgiving market, and loving every minute of it. I think that's what we do this for, right? Aircall, I think when asked, usually I'll describe Aircall as a company that's differentiator is in its people. We're all pretty passionate about our product, but we're even more passionate about what we're able to do and how we're helping others. And so we've led the beginning of the COVID transition with an empathy first mindset, as I think everybody else did when it all first started happening. But we were really, really focused on making sure that what we were asking for wasn't burdensome onto the customer. We were trying to make it so that we were able to be approached, that we were able to help people in a time of need. And we figured that if we approach it as like a business community, that as a community, we would be able to you know, rise above and exit this pandemic in the future here as a community also. And so we continue to run in that vein where we're here and equipped to help others, hoping that that is the best way to approach and continue to work with our customer base, our partners, and everybody that works within the Aircall brand. And I'll go one step further. The second big impact has been on our people. It's amazing, right? Like we've all, I'm sure there's many people listening to this that can relate. A lot of people are used to working within office environments. And we have two of those, one in Paris and one in New York City. And right at the beginning of coronavirus, we immediately went fully remote and had to become a company that was, you know, we would have considered ourselves agile in the first place. And now we were really defining what that meant. We were now having to be very agile and flexible and working with our people to make sure, one, they felt supported, two, they didn't feel like they were in a box, three, that we were supporting people of all backgrounds, because it's not just coronavirus, right? Like it's social injustice. It's been California wildfires. It's been a little mixture of everything, the political climate going on. And so we've needed to make sure that we've met our people where they are. And then we know by doing so that they're able to mentally be ready to help our customers in the way that we'd expect them to at any given moment.
No, 2020 is coming up with its own surprises. You know, I'm mentally prepared that if I'm walking in the Chelsea neighborhood and, you know, I see the UFOs showing up, I'll be like, hey guys, about time you guys.
You're late. You're late, UFO. You're supposed to be here last month. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So managing teams through Zoom. So being the sales director, you know, so, and especially in the context of you live in New York, you know that the spaces are not as big as they are in Texas or in other states, right? So mental health, work-life balance of the sales individuals, you know, so how you've been able to cope up with that for your team and just primarily?
I gotta say, this is something everybody's struggling with, right? Let me just say that, so I put out a test to my team the other day, just to see if I could find a way in which they could subjectively rate their burnout on a scale of 0 to 25, 25 meaning they are fresh if they were like got a score of 25, 0 meaning that they are beyond burnt out and that they need like a 7-month vacation, right? And so I built this test out for them and ran it and found that my team was pretty much 51% burnt out, which is, it's an eye-opening experience and almost alarming when you're sitting there as a leader and going, wait, I know the pulse of my team. We're doing great things. How could they be this burnt out? Then I went ahead and actually yesterday posed one of those questions to the greater sales community, just on LinkedIn, just to see what people were feeling. And one of the questions was just on fatigue. And it's amazing, 71% of the salespeople that responded, and we have over 250 responses at this point, 71% of the people that responded are feeling more fatigued than normal or constant fatigue in their everyday life. That's unbelievable. So it's like, Brian, how are you helping manage a team that's remote? I don't know that I have the perfect answer here because I don't think that one exists yet. I think that we need to redefine this work-life balance, right? So, and we haven't really scratched the surface yet or really peeled back all the layers of that onion yet. And the reason why I say that is because if you look at what it is that that we have in work-life balance today, we used to be able to say, hey, we're going to work from 9 to 5. I'll have an hour lunch break in between, whether you held it or not, whatever. Some people in the startup community will say they work a little later and maybe there was a party at the end of the day or a networking event or something else, some sort of learning event that they went to later as well. Or maybe there's a work chin. But there was always this sense of you went home. And when you went home, for many of us, that meant that we were able to turn off, good night, go and settle down for the rest of the day. We're no longer turning off, right? Like I wake up, open up my computer, I'm working. I have to tell myself to stop working. If I don't tell myself to stop working, by the time I go to bed, it's actually just me closing my computer for me to open my eyes and wake up and do it again. And how often are we doing this? Are we scheduling out our day? Are we holding ourselves to make sure that we're having more balance? Because the thing is that when you're sitting on a sales floor or any floor for that matter, a business floor just in general, if you're sitting there, you're going to have your friends come over and be like, hey, what are you doing for lunch? Hey, you want to pop in this meeting? Hey, we're going to go and talk about this. You should come and join us. You're going to have these different interactions throughout your day, which change it up. When you're at home, you're sitting in front of your computer, you're dialed in, you're focused 100%, and probably the only thing distracting you is either the news or your Slack, and that's it, right? Like everything else is constantly work, work, work. We have to find a way to like completely cut it out. Something that my manager and I are talking about right now is we're like, you know, what is it that we could do to help our teams get out of the weeds. We've come up with this idea of around cave days, and it's not our idea. We stole it like any good idea, but a cave day or a cave hour where you are able just to say, okay, hey, I'm going to go do actual focused work, but but I'm going to do that focus work as a team. So you open up a Zoom meeting, everyone joins, someone puts on music, and you're going to say for like for my team, SDR team, we're going to prospect for a 2-hour block. It's just 2 hours of focused prospecting, but we're going to do it together, and we're going to just like shoot the crap and have some fun and, you know, whatever, just, you know, change it up so that we're not just doing it by ourselves. We need to be the team. And for the extroverts that are listening to this, we've all been housed in little bubbles and rooms that are probably tighter than closets. And if you're in New York City or San Francisco, even more so, you know, it's important that you're finding ways to create extroverted environments, because boy, have we really created the introverted ones in the past couple months.
True. I think I'm going to try the cave technique of yours, because we've been trying so many techniques, you know. They stick for like a month. Then after a month, you're like, okay, we need to try something new. So now we've come up with a 4-hour, a no meeting rule. So on every Friday and Wednesday, so the whole company has a 4-hour block that in the second half of both these days. So no one jumps into a meeting. No one is having any sales call, any customer call, anything in that, just the customer support team, no one else is having any of those calls. Because that way, you know, you just kind of like get to...
I'll put this out to frame of stuff. I was talking to a couple of my peers the other day, and we were on a call just catching up and seeing how things are going. And we all work in different companies, and we all are directors of something. And we like to keep in connection and see how things are going. One of my colleagues brought up this idea of, you know, their company is really heavily contemplating right now the four-day work week. And the reason why they're heavily thinking about the concept is because in the remote environment, everyone's working so focused and so hard for a solid 4 days that for them, they're like, they're getting the extra hours they would have gotten on a Friday in the office, right? Already. So why not just say, hey, we're getting that. Our team's burning out. We need to give them extra time to like decompress. It's something that they're considering. Especially if you look at the fact that majority of the 3-day holidays, fall on Mondays as it is, like 3-day weekends tend to already be a norm. It wouldn't be that many. It'd be a good amount, but maybe not as many as we may think.
True. So Brian, last question, top 3 productivity hacks.
Productivity hacks. I think, so for me, and everyone's going to have a different answer for this. Okay. I have a few that work for me. The first one is to get out. What I mean by that, like you already know what you're comfortable in when you're working and you're being productive, but like if you just sit there and be productive and you don't move, you're actually burning the candle at both ends. You got to change it up. So I used to tell my team to get out, like go downstairs, walk around the building for a few times and come back. In a remote environment, that's like, hey, get out, go take a walk around your neighborhood, maybe go get a cup of coffee, drive somewhere, come back. Like you have to change it up. So change your scenery, super important, because you want to make sure that you can keep some perspective and some fresh air in your life. Okay, that's my first productivity hack. Your second productivity hack is have organization. Now more than ever, you need more organization. For me, that means carving out calendar blocks, especially like working blocks, which is where I'm not working on like any sort of a meeting or anything of that nature, a meeting with others. I'm actually just getting busy work done, and I'm blocking out the calendar so that nobody else steals that time. I need that time for me so I can get work done. Super important, especially with Teams remote. You're gonna have more Zoom meetings than ever. So that second hack is probably, it's gotta happen. And third, again, this is super personal to me, but my background's music, right? So I like to have music on. I find that when I have some sort of calming music or like forward momentum influential music of some kind, where I feel like, man, I'm getting this positive vibe, positive momentum behind me. When I get that kind of music on, I am more productive. So put my headphones on, I can dial out everything else going around me, zone in, but just calmly hear something in the back of my head as I'm working through my thoughts. That's my third productivity hack. There's an old study that says that if you can listen to music and do work, you'll actually not only retain more information, but you'll get more done. So there you go.
Brian, thank you so much for all of this. Thank you so much. Take care of yourself. Stay safe and good luck.
You too, sir. And thanks so much, Mustafa, for having me today. I really appreciate it. Take care, everybody. Be safe.